And good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the KRFY Morning Show. It's Tuesday, February 16th, and I'm Susie Prez in the studio here with my co-host, Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. We have an important show, interview guests here in the studio for our morning interview. We have Brenda Hammond representing the North Idaho Crisis Services Hotline. Amongst other things, we'll be talking about mental health crisis in our community and, in particular, suicide. And we also have Sharon McCann, also a retired therapist, same subject to talk about.
Yes, so it's a serious subject today, and hopefully we'll put out some information that will be helpful to people.
I'm sure we will, and we really appreciate our guests coming in. So thank you. And before we get to that, the National Weather Service has some information for us about our weather today. It already looks like a beautiful day, and it's so nice to get here when it's still when it's light instead of showing up at 7 o'clock in the dark. We can fix that. Currently, it's 41 degrees. We have a slight chance of rain, then mostly cloudy. But there, I think there'll be a little bit of sunshine peeking through. High today, 47. Low tonight, 36, with a 60% chance of rain likely. It's pretty much the same thing going through the week. Highs 47, lows 37. You know, in the mountains on Thursday, a slight chance of snow. I'm sure the skiers will appreciate that. And that's about the sum of it.
And also going on outside, sunrise this morning was at 6:52 a.m. Sunset will be at 5:09 p.m. And in the course of the last week, we've picked up 20 minutes of daylight each day. So
no one's complaining about that, by the way.
Everybody likes that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that does boost the spirits for sure. The first quarter moon was yesterday. The full moon will be next Monday. Up on Schweitzer, there's no new snow the last 48 hours, although they did have a nice 6-inch snowfall over the weekend. There's 93 inches at the top, 76 inches mid-mountain. And today they're saying it's going to get up to 35 degrees, but be partly sunny. It's going to be almost like spring-like skiing up there. The Panhandle Avalanche Center says the danger of avalanches in the Selkirks and in the Cabinet Mountains is moderate right now. And good news for our area, the Bonner and Boundary Counties currently have snow water equivalent in our snowpack that's 99% of normal. So compared to last year, we're doing great that way. Of course, there's some question about whether that snowpack's going to hold up because we're going to enter, apparently, a dry spell.
Kind of an early spring, too.
It feels like an early spring, mm-hmm. Doesn't it? Otherwise, the lake level is holding steady at 2062.6 feet and is projected to stay at that level here for the next week. And what else is going on around town, Susie?
Well, I know the Winter Carnival kicked off. There was a parade. There was the rail thing downtown. I don't know what they call it.
The rail jam.
The rail jam. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of things. It seems like there's a lot of people in town, and it's kind of festive. So you call that the Winter Carnival?
Yep, it's still Winter Carnival. Mm-hmm. Going to be more events coming up this week. And I was looking through the calendar to figure out what we might talk about this week, and there are our calendars we have on KRFY.org and in the Sampling Online calendars, there's 28 different entertainment events in the next week. So no shortage of things to do.
Plenty of things to do to keep you happy and entertained.
And so let's get to today's topic. Again, we're in the studio this morning with Brenda Hammond and Sharon McCann. They are both working with the North Idaho Crisis Services. And there's a new crisis line that's just been started here. This is a hotline that people would call if they're having some kind of some struggle, some problem. Brenda, can you tell us more about that?
Yes, the North Idaho Crisis Line actually started January 1st this year, and it's sponsored by NAMI, and NAMI has sought funding from a number of different sources to get this going. Their hope is to run this as a pilot project for a year and then be able to demonstrate by statistics that they gather and data what the need is in the community and eventually expand it into a full crisis services center that will have a physical home and possibly even some beds in the future. So, but they're starting now with the with a crisis line, which is an after-hours line. So from 5 p.m., when mental health providers' offices would normally close, until 8 a.m. in the morning, and then on the weekends, from 5 p.m. on Friday afternoon until 8 a.m. on Monday morning, there are licensed mental health professionals available to anyone who calls this line to talk about whatever kind of crisis they're having. And obviously, it's geared mostly for mental health kinds of crises, but we all know that in our lives, our mental health problems and our physical problems and our living problems are not separated. They're all together. So any kind of a situation could precipitate a mental health crisis of depression or anxiety or a feeling of being overwhelmed. And these are reasons to call this hotline.
What brought the idea to the forefront that we needed this? I'm sure it was what was missing, but how did it all come about that we finally have this after hours and weekend crisis line for people to access?
Well, there's really been a lack of support services for people in this area, which has left law enforcement really kind of holding the bag. They've been the ones that after hours have been called upon to respond to mental health crises. People call 911. Because someone is suicidal or someone is, having a psychotic break of some kind. So certainly the increasing suicide rate, the number of tragic suicides we've had here in our own community are all evidence of the fact that people need more support. And often they need that support when offices are closed.
Mm-hmm. And you say that the law enforcement in the past picked up doing this service and being there and being available. Were they properly trained? Did they know how to respond in a way at the same level that a social worker or a mental health therapist would know?
Well, they certainly haven't had that degree of training. There has been some because NAMI has provided crisis intervention training for law enforcement. All officers have not been able to attend that. There's also been mental health first aid training for some of the officers, but certainly not the degree of training that a mental health professional would have.
I think we should throw that number out there. It's 208-946-5595, and that's the new, just started up, crisis line for North Idaho. Anybody that's having a problem, or if they're trying to help somebody that's having a problem,
right. They
can call this number again, 208-946-5595. Now, this is available basically after hours, 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. in the morning and on weekends. What line do people call if they're having a crisis during regular hours? Is there a phone number for that?
Well, that's a good question.
It is a good question.
There are mental health providers. I mean, they can call... they can call adult mental health at Health and Welfare. I don't have that number at my fingertips. Or they can call any mental health provider agency or therapist's office.
If they
often the people don't have insurance or a way to pay for those services. And that's often a reason why people don't call in the daytime.
If they called this number during the daytime, would they be referred to another resource?
They might be. If there's now the people that are lined up, there are, I believe, how many, Sharon?
They have eight staff now that I know of.
Eight licensed health providers that are...
Scheduled
to answer the crisis line. Whether they would get anyone in the daytime or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that when the line is on in the evening and on the weekends, if a line is busy, it is rolled over to another line. And I believe if I remember correctly, there are three. It would go to the suicide prevention hotline, the state.
Okay.
And I can't remember what the other...
Well, I think Catherine Pruse
may go to the executive or to the director, the program director, Catherine Pruse. I think she's kind of available 24-7. So.
And there is a state suicide hotline as well, state, and it's run by the Idaho Suicide Prevention Hotline Organization. I'll throw that number out there, too. That's 800-273-8255. But the difference here is that the crisis line will help people that are feeling suicide, but they'll help people with other sorts of crisis going on in their life, and also that they're local. So you'll be talking to somebody, if you mention Cedar Street, they're going to know what you're talking about, versus the state or national suicide prevention lines. Well, let's talk a little bit about what the scale of the problem is. I think you mentioned, Brenda, we don't really have a lot of mental health services here in Bonner County, particularly. What do people that are, you know, feeling mental pressures right now, where can they go for help?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, people talk with their friends. Sometimes they have a pastor or someone in the church that can provide them some support. Sometimes they do have the ability, they have some sort of insurance, or they're able to pay for mental health services. Now, Kiniksu, Sharon, you can talk about that. That's where you were employed for a while.
Yeah, Kiniksu Health Services is a regional, federally funded regional community health center. So they provide access for anyone. They have a sliding scale. They accept all insurances. And they have maybe, I don't know now, 4 or 5 licensed counselors there now. And in my experience, at least just recently, I referred someone there, and they actually walked into the office and were able to have an intake that day, which they weren't doing when I was working there. But so they're pretty accessible, and they're accept all insurances and a sliding scale. So they don't turn anyone away.
And that is Kiniksu Health Services.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
You mentioned earlier, Brenda, NAMI. Now, that is the National Alliance for Mental Illness.
Right.
And there's a local chapter called NAMI Far North. Mm-hmm. And what is tell us more about what NAMI is and what services they provide.
Well, NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and the NAMI Far North is the local chapter. And this is to support people with mental illness, but also a big focus of NAMI is to support the families of people with mental illness. And I was wanting to mention just earlier, I thought I should have said, calling the crisis line. This is available to family members as well. And I know that some of the calls that have been received recently have been from family members wondering what to do or how to deal with a child or a step-parent or a grandparent or anyone who's experiencing a mental health crisis. So, but NAMI is a great place to call. You can call their number. Unfortunately, I don't have that right now. Maybe we can.
I do.
You've
have
got it.
Say,
great.
It's 208-597-2047. Or you can find them on their website. That's namifarnorth.org, NAMI. farnorth.org.
Right. And they're a great resource because you will talk with someone who has had direct personal experience with dealing with mental illness. And they're able to refer you to a number of different resources or sometimes provide you the help that you need by just being a listening ear and someone who will understand what you're going through. So they would definitely have access to all of these crisis lines and other services that are there. And they do have a monthly meeting at the hospital. I think it's the third Wednesday of every month. And they have a program on some aspect of mental illness. And then they have a support group that meets there. Actually, two support groups, one for family of people with mental illness and then for people who are struggling with those issues personally, have a separate support group.
So just to get a clear, NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Health Far North is the supporting organization for the new crisis line.
Right.
And the crisis line is there for immediate help on off hours in the night from 5 to 8 and then all weekend from 5 on Friday till 8 on Monday morning. And that is kind of like immediate crisis. And then there's the support, the training, the understanding mental illness. Understanding signs of mental illness mm-hmm. so that, you know, so often we hear these tragic stories of someone committing suicide and we step back and we say, if only.
Right.
So I think is part of the plan currently and in the future to provide training in such a way that some of this can be caught ahead of time and services provided and prevention happening.
Right. While you mentioned that, I wanted to give a little plug. SPAN Idaho is another organization, the Suicide Prevention Action Network, also headed by Catherine Peruse, who is the director of the North Idaho Crisis Services. But SPAN, along with the Idaho Department of Education, wrote a grant to bring in Dr. David Rudd, who is having a session on assessing and managing suicide risk. And I've personally taken two trainings from him. I know Catherine has taken six, and there's always something new to learn. He's amazing. He's a national expert on suicide prevention. And February 22nd, he will be in Coeur d'Alene at the Kootenai Medical Center. The cost of the training is only $20 because of the grant that's been written, and they will be taking registration or applications for the next couple of days. They've expanded it. It was a February 15th deadline, but you can go to the website, www.spanidaho.org.
That's spanidaho.org. Mm-hmm.
Right, and register for that, and it's especially, of course, for mental health and substance abuse professionals, but other people can attend as well.
There is a program that I think this fellow David, his name is David Rudd, mm-hmm. has created a program that's been very effective mm-hmm. in identifying and intervention to prevent suicide.
Right.
So this is what this is about, and it's $20. What is the date again of that? And it's
February 22nd.
February 22nd. Still taking registration now at www.spanidaho.org.
And that will be from 8 to 4 at the Fox Auditorium there at the Kootenai Medical Center.
It sounds like a great opportunity for not only therapists, but families, anyone that really wants to support mental health.
So let's circle back and talk about the whole question of mental health. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people probably associate mental illness or struggling with depression. What are the sources of depression and more large, you know, the larger question of mental illness conditions?
You want to talk about that, Sherry?
Oh, boy. That's a broad question. I think there are multiple things that can cause depression. I think with, you know, people can be overwhelmed in their family. They can have economic issues. Certainly in the schools, the kids can just feel pressured by their peers and wanting to fit in. And also, I think it's important to note that it can sometimes run in families where there's people see how people respond to stress. But with depression, it's there's a feeling of, you know, hopelessness and helplessness, anxiety is often a big part of depression also, and I don't think we often recognize that. That we see somebody, we can see somebody that's anxious, but underlying there's this deep depression of sadness that can start in childhood if it's not recognized.
Well, trauma and
oh,
stress
trauma,
are
yes.
a big part
yeah.
of and
yeah, that's
the
huge.
Studies that have been done recently on childhood trauma. I mean, it's trauma that people have experienced even in infancy. In the first three mm-hmm. years of their life, can have a huge effect on a mental health condition emerging later. And that trauma can be something even a medical condition that sends a child to a hospital, which can be hugely traumatic mm-hmm. for someone under the age of 3. These are all contributing factors.
And as I understand it, sometimes there's just a biochemical condition as well. And it's like somebody that has a condition like diabetes even. Mm-hmm. It's hardwired into their body, and they have to, you know, struggle against that.
I think it's important to note that there's a shift when you realize it's an illness, that depression is an illness.
Right.
And there's many ways to take care of a cold. There's probably many ways, but often it needs attention. It can be just learning coping skills if it's moderate or mild. But so the realm of treatment and but the first step is recognizing it because it's sort of hidden, it appears oftentimes. Many times suicide is maybe a end result or something that someone chooses, but there's a depression inside them that no one saw and everyone is surprised.
Right. Well, there was an article in today's spokesman just talking about 90% of suicide, you know, being the result of mental illness. And anyone who's been depressed knows that depression tells you to do nothing. You want to just lie there, and you have this feeling of helplessness and that no matter what you do, nothing is going to help. So doing something, doing anything, getting up, going outside, going for a walk, fixing yourself a cup of tea, calling a friend. There's so many ways of dealing with depression, but it has to be the intentionality. You have to have the will to get up and do something. And that's often what people that are isolated don't have.
I think that isolation can become a chronic, you know, contributing factor to depression. But when the families see something in their child, or you see some, or someone sees something in a friend or a family member, they don't necessarily recognize it. And this training that is happening down in Kootenai, on February 22nd, I would imagine for the layperson, it's to recognize signs and to then maybe even have some ideas of how to reach out and make a difference. It can be slight sometimes that can be the deciding factor to move towards mental health rather than staying in the same place that they're at that can be devastating.
Yes, really small things can make a difference.
Really, and if you have time, that it can be helpful. You know, you need to have some time. But I think people are just afraid, even if they recognize something's not right, people are afraid to talk about suicide. They don't want to say the word. I mean, I've been working...
There's a ton of stigma around it, isn't there?
Yeah, there still is. I started working on suicide prevention in 1980 at a suicide prevention center in north of San Francisco. And I was telling Brenda yesterday, we're dealing with the same things. Mm-hmm. People, you know, there needs to be a level of comfort in being able to ask someone the question and not use euphemisms. Ask people if they're thinking about killing themselves and how and if they have the means.
Do they have a plan?
Because people are generally honest. Mm-hmm. They will generally tell you. If someone's intent on killing themselves, they probably will follow through. But if you intervene, people are often very relieved that somebody said the word and actually is willing to be with them and say that and talk about that pain.
It sounds like the first step is getting over the stigma and being willing to say the word.
Right.
That's what you just said.
Yep.
And that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. And it can make all the difference.
You know, we have had some suicides here in Bonner County in the last year that really affected a lot of people in the community. And three of them were teenagers. They were students. Are they dealing with different issues? Is it likely to be dealing with peer pressure, bullying, or anxiety?
Right. And hormonal changes and volatile emotions. You know, they're all part of adolescence, but they can spike. And, you know, they can reach heights and depths that are higher than what we normally experience as adults because we've learned to kind of deal with those things.
And because we're not doing the hormonal changes at later in life.
Right. And that's another thing that I wanted to mention is that the Sandpoint High School is gearing up for a program. It's called Sources of Strength. and that will be starting March 1st. And that's, again, a result of SPAN, Idaho, bringing writing for a federal grant and being able to bring that program in. But, you know, there is a new suicide prevention task force that the high school is involved with, along with law enforcement and mental health providers. But this is one thing that's already beginning at the high school. And it identifies 8 areas that young people can go through. And they can assess their strengths in those areas. They can also see the areas that they need to work on to build their strengths. And it's evidence-based, and it's been shown to prevent suicide or decrease suicide rates, also rates of substance abuse and other kinds of maladaptive ways of coping. So I'm excited that that's beginning.
Is this a program that all the kids are going to participate in, or just kids that are going to choose
to? That I don't know.
I don't know either how many how many students will be able to be involved in that.
I know a fellow named Paul Quinnett. He's a a suicide prevention psychologist. He's written on the subject. He also has an institute called the QPR Institute. That stands for Question, Persuade, and Refer. And he's trying to encourage people to, especially in gatekeeper roles, to recognize folks that are having suicidal thoughts and to talk to them, question them, persuade them that there are other paths, and refer them to mental health professionals. And I would assume that at the high school level, that's particularly important as well. That not necessarily the kids that are struggling, but their friends and their comrades there, if they can recognize that there's a student, a child that's having trouble, and can talk to them and get them to some help, that would be a very important part of this whole program.
Right. And if a student has a friend that they see is in trouble, to go through the question, persuade, and refer, but make sure that an adult finds out too, and that the people that can make a difference.
Yes, yeah, that's the refer part. The question of why people would make that decision to kill themselves is, I think it's something that a lot of people that are busy in their lives and embracing life, they don't really understand very well. And a friend of mine killed himself last October. Wasn't a real close friend, but a type of friend you have in Sandpoint. We see him around. You do some activities with him. His name was Jim Seifert. He always has a smile on his face. And I would not have guessed that he was struggling with things. And I bring up Jim's name because as his last act, he posted a long a passage on his Facebook page, and he wanted it to be shared. So I thought I would read it's quite a long post that he put up there. But I thought I would read a little bit of what he wrote shortly before he took his own life. He talks at the first part of his post about having actually had a good life. He felt he was fortunate in life. He was born into a caring family. He was well-nourished, sheltered, educated, never knew poverty, hunger, or serious physical or mental abuse. Had a really good start in life, and for that I've been most grateful. But then he tells us what his problem was. I've suffered with bouts of SAD-ness, that's seasonal affective disorder, and depression for many years, and have mostly fought them off. Lots of exercise, sunshine, and vitamin D have helped. The winter months were always the worst. Each day I held on was a victory. I very easily could have met this fate several years ago, but I held in there. Unfortunately, if you are reading this, then my luck has finally ran out. Behind all these smiles I often wore was a seriously depressed man covering his sadness with a superficial smile. I'd say Jim's decision to take his own life really caught a lot of people by surprise. A lot of his good friends wouldn't. And if you look on his Facebook page where his friends post, there's a lot of shock. He goes on. I'll read just a little bit more from his post. I mean, he does apologize to his friends for putting him for doing this and putting them through this as well. But here's a couple more things he wrote. Please don't rush to judge me. There's so much more to all this than I can say here. And then he gives a little bit of advice to people. I may take some time, but please find it in your heart to forgive me. Please be kind to each other and love and respect everyone's humanity. Everyone has special gifts to offer. Lastly, be on the lookout for those who might be suffering from depression, SAD, isolation, or loneliness. These are not easy subjects to talk about, yet the conditions are very real and can be life-threatening. Goodbye, dear family and friends. Love you all.
Well, he said it all right there.
Yes, and you know, I think in the spirit of what his wish there, I think it's incumbent upon us to encourage people to talk about this and bring this out into the open, and all of us to act as gatekeepers in order to recognize when somebody's struggling, and they might not be talking about it, they might not be very forthcoming about it, but the question part, ask a question. Is a big part of this.
Mm-hmm. And so with that thought in mind, let's take a little break. This is 88.5 KRFY. We're here on the morning show with Brenda Hammond and Sharon McCone. We're talking about depression, mental illness, and mental health, and prevention of suicide and things like that. We'll be back in a moment. Is it okay to take a music break?
Chris? Yes, let's take a music break, and we'll come back, and we want to talk some more about the resources that are available and the resources that are developing, because more people are now talking about this issue here, and as a community, we want to get our arms around it and find help for people.
And I'd like to also go into a little bit of the signs and what to do, just the immediate things that a person can do when if they see a loved one or a friend. So we're going to hear a song by Bruno Mars. It's called Count on Me. And we'll be right back and continue our conversation with Brenda and Sharon.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you can count on me, 'cause I can't count on you.
And that was Bruno Mars, Count on Me. We're in the studios of KRFY. This is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie and our guests, Brenda Hammond and Sharon McCone. And we're talking about mental health and suicide prevention and things like that.
And Brenda and Sharon, Susie brought up a good question as we were going off to break about looking for the signs. We have kind of talked about that, and we've also talked about being everybody taking a role to try to help find people. I mean, to try to help guide people that might be suffering and have suicidal thoughts. Now, there have been more services that are springing up to help people, and we particularly want to give a shout out to the new North Idaho Crisis Services. Tell us a little bit more about that, and let's talk about that helpline number again, too.
Okay. So the helpline number for after hours mental health crises is 946-5595, which will connect you with a licensed mental health professional to talk about whatever kind of crisis you're having, to provide support, to listen, and to refer to resources, and to help the person determine whether or not, you know, what kinds of services are really appropriate for them in the state that they're in. This has been sponsored by NAMI Far North, and they have funding for the first 6 months to run this line. They are definitely in great need of additional funding. They want to run this program as a pilot for a year, be able to gather data and statistics that will help them apply for further grants, because the plan is eventually to expand these crisis services to a 24/7 crisis center here in Bonner County.
And to be clear, that number is manned by a local therapist that can help somebody, that's trained to help somebody that's in crisis. And you could call it at midnight or 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. In the morning when you might need it the most, and that person will answer. They might be a little bit sleepy, but that person will pick up the phone call.
Right, absolutely.
And it's only been on the air, so to speak, or on the available for since January 1st.
Exactly.
And it's being used.
Yes.
So as Chris said, we were talking on the break, is this the proper time to get to, because I know there's people listening right now that want practical skills. Mm-hmm. If I had a friend and I saw something, what would I be looking for? And what could I say? What could I do? Mm-hmm. And where would I go with that? Mm-hmm. Or if I was someone in a state of despair and depression, but really at that edge of despair, mm-hmm. what would I do? What could I do besides call the crisis line? And but what are some of the signs and what are some of the responses that could be helpful?
Well, anyone can help just as an individual. Catherine and I have both taught mental health first aid, which is we could actually do that again in the community if there was a request for it. But it's how to help just lay people who are untrained know how to deal with a mental health crisis. We've done some training with the Sandpoint Police and the Mental Health First Aid. But they have kind of an acronym. And the first thing that you do is assess for risk of suicide or harm. If someone is coming to you and they are distraught, you need to be able to determine whether or not they are in imminent danger of hurting themselves or someone else. So you ask the question. You don't say, are you thinking of doing something stupid? Are you feeling really bad? You say, are you thinking of killing yourself? Because that brings it right out in the open. The next thing you do, if they don't need to be referred immediately, like through a 911 call to prevent a tragedy, then the next thing you do is to listen non-judgmentally. So that's hard to do if people are talking about harming themselves, because your inclination is to say, you don't want to do that. That's really stupid. You have all this going for you. But that's not how that person feels. That's not where they are coming from. So you have to listen and non-judgmentally. And then the next thing to do is to help them access. You give encouragement. You give information. You help to connect them to informal support through their family or their church or their friends, and then you help to connect them with professional support. So those are kind of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps.
So the first step is to ask, mm-hmm. are you thinking of killing yourself? Mm-hmm. And I like that you said, just be upfront, because then there's no doubt what right. we're dealing with, and that person may be relieved that someone saw them mm-hmm. and saw their pain or suffering. The next one is to listen non-judgmentally. Don't come up with answers right away. Just listen. Mm-hmm. That person needs validation that mm-hmm. they are important. And then to help access or make connections mm-hmm. and all the other things you said, to encourage, to give resources, connect.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really helpful. And there's trainings, as you said. There may be some more trainings coming up, the mental health first aid, and that's what this comes from. But then at the high school, we have programs that are coming up also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about how a lot of times this is driven by depression. Depression can have many causes. Mm-hmm. I wanted to throw a shout out about another local resource, or kind of local. There's a young woman that grew up here, Ali Brosh, mm-hmm. and she writes a blog called Hyperbole and a Half. And she wrote a book, actually, that was very successful, and did a national book tour called Hyperbole and a Half. It's illustrated. She's a humorist, but she suffers from depression, mm-hmm. and she has written very candidly about it on her blog. I would encourage anybody that doesn't really understand depression. We all get depressed about mm-hmm. something or other, but most people don't have the crippling depression
right.
that leads to a decision like mm-hmm. suicide. And you can find Ali's blog at hyperboleandahalf.blogspot.com, or just go Google Hyperbole and a Half. The most recent post she has there doesn't talk about depression, but if you go back to a couple of the older posts, she writes very candidly about it and how crippling it has been for her. And she has a national readership. Mm-hmm. And if you take a look at some of the comments from folks, they are saying, thank you, thank you, thank you mm-hmm. for writing about this important subject.
Well, there's one chapter in her book that describes depression better than I've ever heard it described. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Right. And she does have a book by the same title, Hyperbole in Half, that you can find at the bookstore.
Right.
Most of it is humor, but it makes her writing about depression a little more powerful because mm-hmm. she's such a funny, clever, witty young woman, and yet she is afflicted by bouts of depression as well.
Which is great because she illustrates the fact that none of us are just one thing.
Exactly.
Now, there's some other resources that have come up. A very important one is the new Crisis Center in Coeur d'Alene. Mm-hmm. Now, that is actually a government-supported entity. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about this new Crisis Center in Coeur d'Alene.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. When did it? It started in December, I think.
Mm-hmm.
December 5th, uh-huh. I think. And it's a free 24-hour crisis center down by... it's on Ironwood Court near Kootenai Medical Center. And that it's not a, it's people can only stay 24 hours. Is that right, Brenda?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a place where you can take someone in an interim, if there's a crisis and you need them to be somewhere, emergency room at Bonner General is probably not going to take them. And NAMI is providing transportation or funds for transportation for people to go to this center.
If you don't have somebody else
to drive you. So that's another wonderful thing NAMI's doing. But once they get there, they can be assessed and have a safe place. And then those staff will determine what the next step is and what the resources are. And it has been really helpful to law enforcement. It is saving money because there are funds available to take people down there. And if they need then to go to another facility, they're being assessed appropriately at this crisis center.
For the other types of help they can get.
Yes, exactly.
And is there a phone number somebody could call if they wanted to talk to?
Yes, it is. It's 208-625-4884.
And that is for the new crisis center in Coeur d'Alene. That is mm-hmm. a free clinic mm-hmm. that anybody can access.
Right.
One of the questions I had with our new crisis line here in Bonner County, how do people find that number? We have the number, and we'll say it several more times, but how is it being promoted? And it's like there should be cards all over town. Mm-hmm. You have a question, you have a problem, you're feeling this and that, call this number if it needs immediate, you need some immediate attention. So is that the main way to find out about this number?
Well, it's great that you're having the radio show
yes.
so we can get the number out
over the
airwaves.
Susie, this is how we're letting people know. That number, again, 208-946-5595. That's the new North Idaho crisis line specifically for Bonner and Boundary Counties, staffed by local folks that know this area and the resources that are available and are trained therapists that can help mm-hmm. people in a time of crisis. Other places you can find that, if you go to the NAMI Far North website, there's a page on this, and very shortly there'll be a web address you can go to that would take you directly mm-hmm. to information about that as well.
Well, we're putting the flyers. I'm on the stakeholders group, and everybody was handed a pile of these things. So mm-hmm. they're being put on every bulletin board mm-hmm. and they're cool because they have the tear-off number at the bottom.
Has the reader had an article about this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, I just missed it.
Yeah,
so there's another answer in another way. And if someone was to call that off-hour and weekend number and there was an immediate need, they would be referred to the Crisis Center in North mm-hmm. Idaho at Kootenai.
And transportation could be arranged for them to get down there.
So it's really supporting in a bigger way mm-hmm. Some of the needs that we've experienced and taking it off the hands of law enforcement that for all the good that they do in their training just aren't equipped
to
complete. And I've heard from people that work at the Crisis Center in Coeur d'Alene that they are so impressed by the support from the people that they're getting from Bonner County, because police are driving people down there. Other people are coming down from using the transportation funds that NAMI has provided. And they just feel really, really good that Bonner County is taking advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. And we should throw another shout out that this crisis line is only funded for 6 months with donations that you currently have. And it's seeking more funding.
Yes,
so people that want to support this They would get in touch with NAMI Far North, I mm-hmm. presume, yes?
Yes.
And I can, Catherine Peruse, who is the director of this, has given me permission to use her phone number as well, which is 290-6161. And anyone who knows Catherine knows that she's a 24-hour hotline herself. So she sometimes carries, at least, I don't know, maybe she has a more sophisticated device, but she used to carry three phones with her for the different things that she was answering calls to.
Sort of dedicated her life to this, sounds like.
And you get more information on this, of course, online as well at the website for NAMI Far North, which is namifarnorth.org. That's namifarnorth.org. There's information about the new crisis line, the phone number, of course, as well as information about all this stuff we've been talking about.
And I'd like to just say one thing, and that is that I think we really need collaboration in this community. This is an issue that impacts everybody at one time or another in their life. And I think we all need to be somehow involved in making sure mm-hmm. that this crisis line mm-hmm. Morphs into a more solid mm-hmm. place. Mm-hmm.
The crisis and taking personal responsibility yeah. to help people are mm-hmm. on an individual basis when we see help is needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really want to thank you for coming in and bringing this very important information and subject to the forefront. We want our listeners here at 88.5 KRFY to know that this interview with all the information and the 20 different phone numbers we've given out today is available a little bit later in the day on our website at krfy.org.
Yes, we'll have a podcast for this. You can listen to this and pick up this information again at your leisure. Again, we've been talking with Brenda Hammond and Sharon McCann, and they're both involved with NAMI Far North, North Idaho Crisis Services, the new crisis line, and services to help people.
And we want this subject to stay on the front burner because it's so important. Our community will thrive because of this. Thank you again for coming in. Well,
thank
Brenda
you for
and
having
Sharon.
Us. Thank you for having mm-hmm. us.
We're going to go to a song and take a little break here at 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show. And born on this day was Lynn Paul. He was a singer with the New Seekers who had the number one hit in 1972 called I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. Mm-hmm. And here's that song right now. We'll be right back with a little bit of entertainment calendar. Stay tuned.
I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love.
Sing it along.
Bless the world,
that's the New Seekers. I'd like to teach the world to sing. This is 88.5 KRFY, and you're listening to The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And Chris, what's going on for entertainment in our community? You said there were over 20 things going on during the Winter Carnival.
I counted 28 things going on this next week, not just during the Winter Carnival, but Winter Carnival is front and center. I don't know if you caught anything that happened this last weekend, but they had the parade and the rail jam and other things going on around town. This Friday, there's a party at the 219 Lounge that is on Friday. Just show up and have a party with them. On Saturday, it's a big day up at Schweitzer. They call it the Let It Glow Day. There's a bunch of different events happening at Schweitzer. And then come dusk, they're going to have fireworks up there. You don't even have to be a skier. You can go up and enjoy the fireworks. And, of course, they have some great places to eat and party up there as well. On Saturday, there's a concert with the New Master Sounds is the name of the group. And where are they playing? I believe they're at the Hive.
They're at the Hive.
Yep.
More information on that concert with the New Master Sounds, you can go to livefromthehive.com or sandpointwintercarnival.com. Mm-hmm.
Or KRFY.org and look on the calendar page.
Yeah.
Also, on Sunday is one of the best events of the Winter Carnival, in my opinion. It's the canine keg pull.
Aw, that's so cute. All those dogs with little things.
There's some big dogs. Mm-hmm. And they size the keg that the dog is pulling in the race according to the size of the dog. So a big St. Bernard might be pulling a regular keg. They're not full, but it's a heavy thing for a dog to pull. And then a little tiny Chihuahua might be pulling a beer can. So it's really quite a hoot. And they time the dogs. Usually the owners run with their dogs to get them to run down the course. And there are prizes. And I'm proud to say that about, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, I had a prize-winning dog in that canine.
Really? What was his name?
Her name. Crystal.
Crystal. Yeah.
She got second place in the medium dog category. But
Did she get like a dog treat for a prize?
Actually, I got a t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
And I'm sure she got a dog treat too. Yeah. So
Crystal, the winning dog.
Yeah.
Second place.
That's a prize. I always refer to her after that. You're a prize-winning dog. So what else is going on around town,
Well,
Susie?
Something on Friday night at the late night at the museum. It's a 1930s ice cream social. Let's see what they're saying. Join a sweet and engaging exploration of typical social events popular during the Depression. So they're kind of reenacting the old-fashioned 1930s ice cream social. It's from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. at the Bonner County Historical Museum at 611 Ella Avenue. I think everyone knows where that is in the park there. What's the name of that park?
On Ella?
Yeah, no, the big park where the, Lakeside Park. That's it.
Okay,
at Lakeside Park. It looks like it's sip on authentic ice cream sodas, like brown cow, black and whites, and strawberry sodas. Plus, try your hand at a few parlor games, old-fashioned 1930s ice cream social reenacted at the museum Friday night. And you can go to bonnercountyhistory.org to find out more about that.
Yeah, and actually,
sounds like fun.
Now I remember it is Lakeview Park.
Lakeview. Did I say Lakeside?
Lakeside.
Lakeview.
Close enough.
Sounds good.
A really great play is happening on Friday and Saturday. A local group called the Unknown Locals. So who knows who they are? they've been writing and performing original plays, and they're presenting their newest original comedy. It's called Cold Feet, and that is Friday and Saturday at the Heartwood Center. That's the old former Catholic church at 615 Oak Street. Little synopsis on that. It's the story of Jack anxiously awaiting his nuptials, getting married, with appearances and pep talks. Some are helpful, some are not, from his friends and folks that are going to be attending that.
And guess what, Chris? We're just about out of time. However, I do want to remind our listeners that this evening you can tune in to KRFY at 88.5 for the new show on our station called Live and Local. Enjoy an hour of live local music in the studios. Hear original music by local musicians. Tonight, my guests are Canadian singer-songwriter Kevin Doran and local musician Pete Hicks. And invite you to come to that at 7 o'clock this evening. And next week, Chris, you're going to be gone for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
I'm going to be out of town for a little bit.
But luckily, I have some co-hosts coming in that will help me out. Next week, we're going to reinstitute Garden Talk with Emily Levine and Pat Wentworth and Julie Calamine.
So it'll be like the pre-season show.
Yep, right? We're going to talk about seeds and what you do in January, dreaming about your garden.
Yeah.
So that will be fun. And thanks for listening to KRFY Morning Show.
Yes, thank you. Have a great week.
Yep. This was the number one song in 1967. 66, it's Petula Clark, My Love. Enjoy your day. Thanks for tuning in.